John chapter 20, 19 to 31. It's page 1089. Hopefully you've got that. Enjoy.
Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Think more about that. I've got a job for all of you to do. Can you help me? You people,
you're looking lovely.
You people, I need your help I'd like you to count for me how many times in the passage we read Jesus says, peace be with you. I'd like you to count that, and I'd like you to also work out who he says it to. Peace be with you, how many times, and who to.
You people, also looking very lovely, I'd like you to have a look at how many times we get mentioned Jesus' hands and side. And
who says it? Okay? Hands and side, who says it? You people just for that note. I would like you, if you're able, just to have a look through the passage that we read and over the page. How many times do we get mention of believing or not believing or belief, that kind of thing? How many times believing? Okay? Peace, who to?
Hands and side, who says it? Believing.
How about now? Is that better? Great. The thing's not plugged in. Excellent. There we go. How are you getting on, peace people? How many times, Emmanuel? Three times Jesus says, peace be with you. Okay, who does he say it to? Josh? The disciples. Who else does he say it to?
Thomas.
Interesting. So what was the other time? So he says it once to the disciples, once to the disciples with Thomas. So what about the other time? Still just the disciples. You're right, Josh, yes. First time, peace be with you. Bit of a trick question. First time to the disciples, peace be with you. Second time, still just to those disciples, peace be with you. Third time, what's unique about the third time? Zach? Brilliant. Peace be with you to the disciples and Thomas. Okay. Peace be with you three times, twice to the disciples, once to the disciples with Thomas. Hands and side, how many times?
Three
times hands and side gets mentioned. Raphael, who mentions hands and side, or who does something with their hands and side? You can say you don't know, that's fine. What do the disciples do? Maybe ask Keon to help you. Benji.
Jesus,
what does he do? Brilliant. Yeah, he does. He says to Thomas, put your hands here, see the holes, put your hands into my side. Who else? That's one of the times, JJ. Yeah, okay, nearly. Who in the first time he does something with his hands and side, what does he do?
Shows
his hands and side to the disciples, okay? That happens first. And then third, we've got mention of hands and side, and it's Jesus saying to Thomas, put your hands here, put your hands. There's one in the middle, one mention of hands and side in the middle. What's going on there? Anybody further back than the front row? Who mentions Jesus' hands and side other than Jesus? What do you think? Sienna, do you know? Thomas, brilliant. Thomas in the middle. So Jesus appears to the disciples. Thomas isn't there. It says, peace be with you, twice. And then in the middle, Thomas says, unless I see and put my hands in his hands and side, I won't believe. And then the third time, Jesus appears to Thomas and says, come on then, here you go, here you go. Pop your fingers in, pop your hand in there. We're going to come to believing in a minute. So if you've got your answer in your head, keep it in your head. So let's think about Thomas, because he seems to be quite an important character. There's this little story with Thomas and he seems to be really important. So I want us to think about Thomas. Here's Thomas. He's a bit one-dimensional, isn't he? But here's Thomas. Thomas is smiling at this point, but he wasn't there when the disciples first met Jesus. And they went to him and said, "We've seen Jesus." And he said, "What? What did he say?" "I don't believe it." What kind of facial expression do you make if you're saying, "I don't believe it"? Raphael? Keon, come on. What facial expression for "I don't believe it"? Yeah, a little head shake like Mikey. Facial expression for "I don't believe it"? Yeah, what face do you make? Yeah, no. What about this one? This one? Does that work? Maybe this one's better. Is that better? I can't really do that. Can anybody do that? "I don't believe it," Thomas says. Okay, so Thomas isn't there. He doesn't see Jesus initially. He says, "I don't believe it." But in the end, Thomas does believe. He does believe. He ends up believing. How did that happen? Brilliant. Exactly. So he sees. Thomas sees. And he goes from face and a big question mark to, yeah, okay, Jesus is alive. He goes from seeing, he sees, and that leads him to believe. Good for Thomas, huh? Good for Thomas. Isn't that nice? How fortunate for Thomas that he got to meet Jesus and put his hand in his side and see him. And did you notice what Jesus said to him? So he says, "Put your finger," in verse 27, he says, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus appears to Thomas. He says, "Peace be with you," to Thomas. He includes him with the disciples. He's kind to him. He says, "Hey, I know you doubt. Stop doubting and believe. Look, you can see, feel, believe me." And then he says this, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Because you've seen, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." It seems like Thomas gets a good deal, seeing and believing. But again, what about us? What about us? Lots of people say, there we are. Some of you missing. We'll need a new one soon. Lots of people say, "If I was there and I saw, I'd believe." But lots of us believe and we didn't see. So how can that be? How can that be? Right. How many times you've been waiting very patiently, holding this answer in your head? How many times in the passage we read do we get the idea or the word believing? Chris is murmuring, but she's not sure. Five, okay. Pardon? Four believing and one not. Any other offers? Five? Any others? Six. Okay. Six. Send everybody else scuttling back to the drawing board. I love it. I'm with you, Doyen. I'm six. Okay. Let's see if we can find them. Six times we get mention of believing. It's almost like John, who's writing this book, wants us to believe something, okay? So starting in verse 24, Thomas wasn't there. The disciples say Jesus is alive. We've seen the Lord. Thomas says, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. Okay, one. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." He believes. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed." Three so far. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, six. Well done, we got there. Six, by believing you may have life in his name. For John, this idea of believing is so important. John wants all of you and me, he really wants us to believe. What does he want us to believe? You might need to be on page 1090 to see the answer to this. What does John want us to believe about Jesus? That Jesus is the Messiah, God's special king. What else does he want us to believe? That he's the Son of God, the Messiah, the Son of God. Emmanuel, what does believing in Jesus and believing he's the king get you? Have a look at the end of verse 31. By believing, what do you get? Dami can help you. Life. Jesus, John wants us all to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, so that we can have life in his name. Not just life here, but eternal life. Restored relationship with God forever. That's what John wants. He wants you to believe. So he's basically saying he's written his book, John's Gospel. He's written his book and he's saying, my book is all you need for believing in Jesus. There you go. A book titled All You Need for Believing in Jesus by John. Catchy. That's kind of what John's Gospel is. That's what he's telling us here. This is a book all about Jesus so that you can believe. Okay, here's another job for you. All of you, same question. In these verses, all of the verses that we read, where are we? Jesus talks about us. Can you believe that? Jesus talks about us. Where does he talk about us? Might be a bit tricky, this one. You might need some help. Where does Jesus talk about us in these verses? Pardon? 21, what does he say in 21? Peace be with you. He says peace to you. He's talking to his disciples and he's expressing peace. So there's a sense of that for us. Dami, you had your hand up. What were you going to say? 29. Okay, everyone, it's a bit annoying because it's over the pages. Oh, it's frustrating, isn't it? But that's okay. Verse 29 on page 1089. Jesus told Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Makes sense. You've seen me, you've believed. But he goes on to say, blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus speaks to me and you, if we believe in him, and says, you're blessed. Because you believe in me even though you haven't seen me. Jesus is talking about you if you're a believer in that verse. That's quite cool, isn't it? He's God in human form, so he can know exactly who will believe in him in the future, included when he says, those who believe me without seeing is you if you believe. That's cool. Jesus is thinking of you and saying, you, if you believe in him without seeing him, you are blessed. That's really awesome. You have a special, a particular blessing from God because you believe without seeing. But some people might say you're a bit stupid. No, I'm blessed, Jesus says, but a bit silly. You believe something you haven't seen. Why would you do that? So, Thomas gets to see and believe. What about us? How can we believe and have real confidence about believing? Go on, Benji, what do you think? God, yeah, great. Okay, we can believe because we've got John's book. John's book, reading John's book, gives us everything we need to believe. So for us, believing comes by reading. Reading leads to believing for us. Now, people might say that's not as good. I'm willing to say, sure, it's not as good as being there. It's not as good, perhaps, as seeing Jesus. Maybe you'd prefer to be Thomas and see it. I'm happy to acknowledge that's probably slightly better in some way. But John is wanting to persuade us that if we read his book, we have everything we need to truly believe in Jesus. And who knows, if you're under 11, I want an answer from you. Who knows what jury service is? Any of you? Under 14. Oh, go on, Raphael, you think you know. Court, excellent, excellent. So jury service is when, in the court, when they want to get justice, they get some people from the general public, people like your mum and dads and adults, and they sit them on a bench over there with a judge over there and lots of important lawyers. And the lawyers help display the evidence for what happened. And the person who's committed a crime maybe says, this is what happened. And then all the witnesses come and they say, no, this is what happened. And the jury have to decide what happened based on the evidence, based on what the eyewitnesses say. So I did jury service about 5 years ago. It was 4 months long. It's a long time, isn't it? And we had to decide whether these people were guilty or not guilty based on what the eyewitnesses told us. The whole of the UK justice system is based on eyewitness evidence, pretty much. Like nowadays, there's some, you know, I mean, Rachel's here. She was a police person. She can tell us. But loads of it is now based on video, fine. But so much of it is based on witnesses, right? Yes, thank you. Loads of it is based on eyewitness testimony. And so John is saying to us, you weren't there. You couldn't see. But here is loads of eyewitness testimony about Jesus so that you can believe. My book is everything you need for believing. And so we can have the same confidence believing that Thomas has when we read the Bible. The same confidence because John has given us everything we need and God has preserved for us everything we need so that we can believe. And not just John's gospel, but the whole Bible. The whole Bible is God's gift to us so that we can read and believe in Jesus. Isn't that a good gift? You weren't there. You couldn't see. You can't see. But you can read this and hear it taught and read by other people so you can have confidence to believe. And John, I think, here at the end of his gospel is wanting us to see if we read this book, it gives us everything we need to believe. And it's possible you're here and you're not a Christian, not somebody who believes this. You're more like Thomas when he was... And you've got questions. A great thing to do, if that's you, if you don't believe but you think you might like to, is to read John's Gospel. He says it will help you to believe. If you want some help with that, I'd love to talk to you about that. We can go for a coffee or walk around the park and read it together and talk about it together. But I think, too, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, reading John's Gospel, lots, will help you keep believing. And that would be very good too, wouldn't it? So brothers and sisters, here in John's Gospel, right at the end, as he draws things to a close, he wants us to give us the same certainty that Thomas has. He wants us to have confidence. Jesus really is the Lord, the Messiah. And by believing, we can have life in his name. And we can believe it confidently based on what John has given us in his book. So read John's Gospel and trust Jesus. Simple outcome. Read John's Gospel. Trust in Jesus. Have life in his name forever with God. Should we pray? Lord God, thank you so much that you have given us an amazing book that tells us all about Jesus, everything we need to know. And you've not just given us that in John's Gospel, but you've given us that in the whole Bible. What a gift to us. We weren't there. We can't see, but we can read and hear and so believe. Help us to have confidence in the Bible. Help us to read and believe and have life in Jesus' name. Amen.